I went for 2 years to Pomona College, where they didn't teach me what I was going to do. And they make you think, if you have an inclination to make things, that you're going to be a writer, because that's actually the only craft I think we learn in school, reading and writing. Hmm? So that one tends to think of himself as a poet or an author when he goes to school. And after 2 years at Pomona, I decided to leave the whole thing. And I went to Europe, where I was impressed by architecture and decided to become an architect. But not to become an architect, but to study Gothic architecture. Then a teacher of mine, seeing this, said I should have a more creative involvement, and he put me in an architect's studio. And the architect said, in order to be an architect, you must devote your life to architecture. And I still felt very possessive about my life. And I didn't feel like giving it away to architecture. And so then I came in contact with both modern music and with modern painting, and I decided that if that was the way things were, that I could do them as well as anybody else. And so I began composing and painting, and I continued doing both of these things for 3 years, and that brought me back from Europe, back here to Los Angeles, Pacific Palisades and Santa Monica, and I came in contact with Richard Bulig, the pianist who's no longer living, and with the Ahrensbergs, and with Galka Shire. And the Ahrensbergs and Galka Shire didn't give me as much encouragement about my painting as Bulig gave me and others about my music. And so after, I had not yet studied music. So I, at the suggestion of Henry Cowell, I prepared to study with Schoenberg. And when I, after studying with Cowell and with Adolf Weiss, I presented myself to Schoenberg, and he said, well, you probably not be able to afford my price and for studying. And I said, well, you don't even need to mention it, because I can't pay you anything. And He said, will you devote your life to music? And I said, yes. And I stopped painting, and I devoted my life to music. Now, I wrote a great deal of music, and gave concerts and whatnot. And it looked for many years as though this music was not going to be published. In fact, people always wanted more to hear about it than to hear it. And so I took to writing lectures and articles. And if you please, those articles and lectures were published, or they contracted to publish them, before any of my music was published. But almost immediately, all of the music was published too. Now, some of that music, particularly around 1958, my concert for piano and orchestra, uses graphic notations. And those notations were exhibited in the Staple Gallery. So, have I or haven't I devoted my life to music? You mean, how did I write them?
Yes.
The Rauschenberg text was written rather quickly and followed a musical score of mine, which is called cartridge music. It's been my habit for some years to write texts in a way analogous to the way that I write music. And so I use a musical composition. It gives me the subject which I must discuss. Say I have three or four that I'm willing to discuss. Then I take a sheet with four shapes on it. Over that I place a circle, which in the case of music refers to time. In the case of a text such as these, refers to lines on a page. I have a line. I have another sheet with points on it. And these points, these sheets are transparent. And as the points fall over the one with shapes, some of the points are within the shapes, some are outside. Now the circle with the numbers, and another circle, another page with not points, but like O's, circles, also over this complex. Then a dotted line, which is wiggly, meandering, is laid over this so that it intersects at least one of the points, which is within one of the shapes, and intersects also the circle. It will possibly, very more likely than not, intersect with other points which are either within or outside of the shapes and the circles. In the case of the John's text, if it intersects with the circles, then I'm obliged to tell a story. If it intersects with the points, I'm obliged to present an idea. And all of that within the number of lines that is given by the intersection of the dotted line with with the circle. Do you get it? Now, I searched and searched and searched for a way to write about John's which would not only fulfill my musical obligation, but would somehow suggest his work or something that I felt about it. And one of the things I feel about it that I don't feel about, say, Rauschenberg or some other painters, is that the whole surface of the painting has been worked on. There is no emptiness in it. There is no place that hasn't been something been done. There are a few exceptions to that, but few. So I made a text there, fulfilling this obligation that I've mentioned that produces gaps like this. And then I filled in the gaps so that I too would have filled up the time. Whereas in the Rauschenberg one, and I tried to give some impression of that by the spaces that I left in time, there were spaces between these various obligations that I had to write. Now, in the case of the to write the John's text, the actual writing took me, I think, about 3 weeks, and the coming to how to write it, this way of writing it, took me 5 months of constant application to this problem of writing about him. I had several interesting ideas, which I found I could not carry out. And it may be that I will one day carry them out. I don't know that it's worth discussing them. The Duchamp text was written in a simple way. I tossed, the I Ching business of tossing 3 coins 6 times to get a number from 1 to 64, and I got the number 26, which meant that I had only to write 26 statements. Then I tossed coins for each one of the statements to see how many words were to be used in each one. And that's why there are sometimes single words, because I got the number 1. This evening I'm going to read three texts. The one on Robert Rauschenberg, which is published in my book, Silence. Another short one on Duchamp. And then I will read the text on Jasper Johns. This piece on Robert Rauschenberg, Artist and His Work, has a note preceding it, to whom it may concern. The white paintings came first. My silent piece came later, and I sign it. Conversation was difficult, and correspondence virtually ceased, not because of the mails, which continued. People spoke of messages, perhaps because they'd not heard from one another for a long time. Art flourished. The goat, no weeds, virtuosity with ease. Does his head have a bed in it? Beauty. His hands and his feet, fingers and toes, long jointed, are astonishing. They certify his work. And the signature is nowhere to be seen. The paintings were thrown into the river after the exhibition. What is the nature of art when it reaches the sea? Beauty is now underfoot wherever we take the trouble to look. This is an American discovery. Is when Rauschenberg looks an idea? Rather, it is an entertainment in which to celebrate unfixity. Why did he make black paintings, then white ones, coming up out of the South? Red, gold ones. The gold ones were Christmas presents. Ones of many colors, ones with objects attached. Why did he make sculptures with rocks suspended? Talented? I know he put the paint on the tires, and he unrolled the paper on the city street. But which one of us drove the car? As the paintings changed, the printed material became as much of a subject as the paint. I began using newsprint in my work, causing changes of focus, a third palette. There is no poor subject. Any incentive to paint is as good as any other. Dante is an incentive, providing multiplicity, as useful as a chicken or an old shirt. The atmosphere is such that everything is seen clearly, even in the dark night, or when thumbing through an out-of-date newspaper or poem. This subject is unavoidable. A canvas is never empty. It fills an empty canvas. And if, to continue history, newspapers are pasted onto the canvas and on one another, and black paints are applied, the subject looms up in several different places at once like magic to produce the painting. If you don't see it, you probably need a pair of glasses. But there is a vast difference between one oculist and another, and when it is a question of losing eyesight, the best thing to do is to go to the best oculist, that is, the best painter. He'll fix you up. Ideas are not necessary. It is more useful to avoid having one, certainly avoid having several, leads to inactivity. Is Gloria V a subject or an idea? Then tell us. How many times was she married? And what do you do when she divorces you? There are three panels, taller than they are wide, fixed together to make a single rectangle wider than it is tall. Across the whole thing is a series of colored photos, some wider than tall, some taller than wide, fragments of posters, some of them obscured by paint. Underneath these, cutting the total in half, is a series of rectangular color swatches, all taller than wide. Above, bridging two of the panels, is a dark blue rectangle. Below, and slightly out of line with the blue one, since it is on one panel only, is a gray rectangle with a drawing on it about halfway up. There are other things, but mostly attached to these two roads which cross. off to the left and below the swatches is a drawing on a rectangle, on a rectangle, on a rectangle. Its situation is that of a farm on the outskirts of a Main Street town. This is not a composition. It is a place where things are, as on a table or on a town seen from the air. Any one of them could be removed and another come into its place through circumstances analogous to birth and death, travel, house cleaning, or cluttering. He is not saying, he is painting. What is Rauschenberg saying? The message is conveyed by dirt, which, mixed with an adhesive, sticks to itself and to the canvas upon which he places it. Crumbling and responding to changes in weather, the dirt unceasingly does my thinking. He regrets we do not see the paint while it's dripping. Rauschenberg is continually being offered scraps of this and that, odds and ends his friends run across, since it strikes them this is something he could use in a painting. 9 times out of 10, it turns out he has no use for it. Say it's something close to something he once found useful, and so could be recognized as his. Well, then, as a matter of course, his poetry has moved without one's knowing where it's gone to. He changes what goes on a canvas, but he does not change how canvas is used for paintings. That is, stretched flat to make rectangular surfaces which may be hung on a wall. These he uses singly, joined together, are placed in a symmetry so obvious as not to attract interest, nothing special. We know 2 ways to unfocus attention. Symmetry is one of them. The other is the overall, where each small part is a sample of what you find elsewhere. In either case, there is at least the possibility of looking anywhere, not just where someone arranged you should. You are then free to deal with your freedom, just as the artist dealt with his, not in the same way, but nevertheless, originally. This thing, he says, duplication of images, that is symmetry. All it means is that looking closely, we see as it was. Everything is in chaos still. To change the subject, art is the imitation of nature in her manner of operation, or a net. So somebody has talent. So what? Dime a dozen, and we're overpopulated. Actually, we have more food than we have people and more art. We've gotten to the point of burning food. When will we begin to burn our art? The door is never locked. Rauschenberg walks in. No one home. He paints a new painting over the old one. Is there a talent, then, to keep the two, the one above, the one below? What a plight. It's no more serious than that we're in. It's a joy, in fact, to begin over again. In preparation, he erases the de Kooning. Is the door locked? No, it's open as usual. Certainly, Rauschenberg has techniques. But the ones he has, he disuses, using those he hasn't. I must say he never forces a situation. He is like that butcher whose knife never became dull simply because he cut with it in such a way that it never encountered an obstacle. Modern art has no need for technique. We are in the glory of not knowing what we're doing. So technique, not having to do with the painting, has to do with who's looking and who painted. People, technique is, how are the people? Not how well did they do it, but, as they were saying, frailty. He says, and is he speaking of technique? What do you want? A declaration of love? I take responsibility for competence and hope to have made something hazardous with which we may try ourselves. It is a question, then, of seeing in the dark, not slipping over things visually. Now that Rauschenberg has made a painting with radios in it, does that mean that even without radios, I must go on listening even while I'm looking, everything at once, in order not to be run over? Would we have preferred a pig with an apple in its mouth? That, too, on occasion, is a message and requires a blessing. These are the feelings Rauschenberg gives us. Love, wonder, laughter, heroism, I accept. Fear, sorrow, anger, disgust, tranquility. There is no more subject in a combine than there is in a page from a newspaper. Each thing that is there is a subject. It is a situation involving multiplicity. It is no reflection on the weather that such and such a government sent a note to another, and the three radios of the radio combine turned on, which provides the subject. Say there was a message. How would it be received? And what if it wasn't? Over and over again, I found it impossible to memorize Rauschenberg's paintings. I keep asking, have you changed it? And then noticing while I'm looking, it changes. I look out the window and see the icicles. There, dripping water is frozen into object. The icicles all go down. Winter, more than the others, is the season of quiescence. There is no dripping when the paint is squeezed from a tube, but there is the same acceptance of what happens and no tendency toward gesture or arrangement. This changes the notion of what is beautiful. By fixing papers to canvas and then painting with black paint, black became infinite and previously unnoticed. Hallelujah. The blind can see again. Blind to what he has seen, so that seeing this time is as though first seeing. How is it that one experiences this, for example, with the two Eisenhower pictures, which for all intents and purposes are the same, a duplication containing duplications? Everything is so much the same, one becomes acutely aware of the differences, and quickly. And whereas here the intention is unchanging, it is clear that the differences are unintentional, as unintended as they were in the white paintings where nothing was done. Out of seeing, do I move into poetry? And is this a poetry in which Eisenhower could have disappeared and the Mona Lisa taken his place? I think so, but I do not see so. There is no doubt about which way is up. In any case, our feet are on the ground. Painting's place is on the wall. Painting's place, that is, in process. When I showed him a photograph of one of Rauschenberg's paintings, he said, if I had a painting, I'd want to be sure it would stay the way it is. This one is a collage and would change. But Rauschenberg is practical. He goes along with things just as they are. Just as he knows it goes on a wall and not any which way, but right side up, so he knows, as he is, it is changing, which one more quickly, and the pyramids change. When possible, and by various means, he gives it a push. Holes through which one sees behind the canvas the wall to which it is committed. The reflective surfaces changing what is seen by means of what is happening. Lights going on and off, and the radios. The white paintings were airports for the lights, shadows, and particles. Now, in a metal box attached by a rope, the history kept by means of drawings of what was taken away and put in its place, of a painting constantly changing. There is in Rauschenberg, between him and what he picks up to use, the quality of encounter for the first time. If, as happens, there is a series of paintings containing such and such a material, it is as though the encounter was extended into a visit on the part of the stranger, who is divine. In this way, societies, uninformed by artists, coagulate their experiences into modes of communication in order to make mistakes. Shortly, the stranger leaves, leaving the door open. Having made the empty canvases, a canvas is never empty, Rauschenberg became the giver of gifts. Gifts, unexpected and unnecessary, are ways of saying yes to how it is, a holiday. The gifts he gives are not picked up in distant lands, but are things we already have, with exceptions, of course. I needed a goat and the other stuffed birds, since I don't have any, and I needed an attic in order to go through the family things. Since we moved away, the relatives write to say, do you still want them? And so we are converted to the enjoyment of our possessions. Converted from what? From wanting what we don't have. Art as pained struggle. Setting out one day for a birthday party, I noticed the streets were full of presents. Were he saying something in particular, he would have to focus the painting. As it is, he simply focuses himself and everything. A pair of socks is appropriate to poetry, a poetry of infinite possibilities. It did not occur to me to ask him why he chose Dante as a project for illustration. Perhaps it is because we've had it around so long, so close to us, without bothering to put it to use, which becomes its meaning. It involved a stay in Florida, and at night, looking for help, a walk through land infested with rattlesnakes, also slipping on a pier, gashing his shin, hanging, his foot caught, not calling for help. The technique consists in having a plan, layout, stretcher on floor, match markings and join. Three stretchers with the canvas on them, no doubt already stretched. Fulfilling this plan put the canvas in direct contact with the floor, the ground thereby activated. This is pure conjecture on my part, but would work. More important is to know exactly the size of the door and techniques for getting a canvas out of the studio. Combines don't roll up. Anything beyond that size must be suitably segmented. I remember the show of the black paintings in North Carolina. Quickly, they have become masterpieces. Is it true that anything can be changed, seen in any light, and is not destroyed by the action of shadows? Then you won't mind when I interrupt you while you're working. The message changes in the combined drawings made with pencil, watercolor, and photographic transfer. A, the work is done on a table, not on a wall. B, there is no oil paint. C, because of A plus B, no dripping holds the surface in one plane. D, there is not always the joining of rectangles, since when there is, it acts as reminiscence of stretchers. E, the outlines appear vague, as in water or air. Our feet are off the ground. F, I imagine being upside down. G, the pencil lines scan the images transferred from photographs. H, it seems like many television sets working simultaneously, all tuned differently. How to respond to this message? And I remember the one in Dante with the outline of the toes of his foot above, the changed position, and another message, the paper absorbing the color and spreading it through its wet tissues. He has removed the why of asking why, and you can read it at home or in a library. These others are poems too. Perhaps because of the change in gravity, Monument 1958, the project arose of illustrating a book. A book can be read at a table. Did it fall on the floor? As for me, I'm not so inclined to read poetry as I am one way or another to get myself a television set, sitting up nights looking. Perhaps, after all, there is no message. In that case, one is saved the trouble of having to reply. As the lady said, well, if it isn't art, then I like it. Some, A, were made to hang on a wall, others, B, to be in a room, still others, A plus B. By now, we must have gotten the message. It couldn't have been more explicit. Do you understand this idea? Painting relates to both art and life. Neither can be made. I try to act in that gap between the two. The nothingness in between is where, for no reason at all, every practical thing that one actually takes the time to do so stirs up the dregs that they're no longer sitting, as we thought, on the bottom. All you need do is stretch canvas, make markings, and join. You have then turned on the switch that distinguishes man, his ability to change his mind. If you do not change your mind about something when you confront a picture you have not seen before, you are either a stubborn fool or the painting is not very good. Is there any need before we go to bed to recite the history of the changes? And will we in that bed be murdered? And how will our dreams, if we manage to go to sleep, suggest the next practical step? Which would you say it was, wild or elegant, and why? Now, as I come to the end of my rope, I noticed the color is incredibly beautiful, and that embossed box. I am trying to check my habits of seeing, to counter them for the sake of greater freshness. I am trying to be unfamiliar with what I'm doing. I cannot remember the name of the device made of glass which has inside it a delicately balanced mechanism which revolves in response to infrared rays. Rauschenberg made a painting combining in it two of these devices. The painting was excited when anyone came near it. Belonging to friends in the country, it was destroyed by a cat. If he takes a subject, what does he take? And what does he combine with it once he's put it in place? It's like looking out a window, but our windows have become electronic. Everything moves through the point where our vision is focused. Wait long enough and you'll get the Asiatic panoply. Poetry is freewheeling. You get its impact by thumbing through any of the mass media. The last time I saw him, Rauschenberg showed me a combine drawing, and while I was looking, he was speaking, and instead of hearing, I was looking. I just got the general idea that this was an autobiographical drawing. A self-portrait with multiplicity and the largest unobstructed area given to the white painting, the one made of four stretchers, two above, two below, all four of equal size. Into this structure and all, anything goes. The structure was not the point, but it was practical. You could actually see that everything was happening without anything's being done. Before such emptiness, you just wait to see what you will see. Is Rauschenberg's mind then empty the way the white canvases are? Does that mean whatever enters it has room in, of course, the gap between art and life? And since his eyes are connected to his mind, he can see what he looks at because his head is clear, uncluttered? That must be the case, for only in a mind, 20th, that had room for it, could Dante, 13th, 14th, have come in and gone out. What next? The one with the box changed by the people who look at it. What do images do? Do they illustrate? It was a New Year's Eve party in the country, and one of them had written a philosophical book and was searching for a picture that would illustrate a particular point but was having difficulty. Another was knitting, following the rules from a book she had in front of her. The rest were talking, trying to be helpful. The suggestion was made that the picture in the knitting book would illustrate the point. On examination, it was found that everything on the page was relevant, including the number. But do we not already have too much to look at? Generosity. Left to myself, I would be perfectly contented with black pictures, providing Rauschenberg had painted them. I had one, but unfortunately the new room has a slanting ceiling, and besides, the wall isn't long enough for it. These are the problems that have no solution, such as the suit wearing out. But going along, I see I'm changing. Color's not so bad after all. I must have been annoyed by the games of balance and whatnot they played with it. One of the simplest ideas we get is the one we get when someone is weeping. Duchamp was in a rocking chair. I was weeping. Years later, but in the same part of town, and for more or less the same reason, Rauschenberg was weeping. The white paintings caught whatever fell on them. Why did I not look at them with my magnifying glass? Only because I didn't yet have one? Do you agree with the statement, after all, nature is better than art? Where does beauty begin and where does it end? Where it ends is where the artist begins. In this way, we get our navigation done for us. If you hear that Rauschenberg has painted a new painting, the wisest thing to do is to drop everything and manage one way or another to see it. That's how to learn the way to use your eyes, sun up the next day. If I were teaching, would I say, caution, watch your step, or throw yourself in where the fish are thickest? Of course there are objects. Who said there weren't? The thing is, we get the point more quickly when we realize it is we looking rather than that we may not be seeing it. Why do all the people who are not artists seem to be more intelligent? An object is fact, not symbol. If any thinking is going to take place, it has to come out from inside the mason jar, which is suspended in talisman, or from the center of the rose, is it red? Or the eyes of the pitcher, looks like something out of a movie, or the farther one goes in this direction, the more one sees nothing is in the foreground. Each minute point is at the center. Did this happen by means of rectangles? The picture is cut through the middle. Or would it happen given this point of view? Not ideas, but facts. Now I'll read the one on Duchamp. It's called 26 Statements, Ray Duchamp. History. The danger remains that he'll get out of the valise we put him in, so long as he remains locked up. The rest of them were artists. Duchamp collects dust. The check. The string he dropped. The Mona Lisa. The musical notes taken out of a hat. The glass. The toy shotgun painting. The things he found. Therefore, everything seen, every object, that is, plus the process of looking at it, is a Duchamp. Duchamp Mallarmé. There are two versions of the Oxherding pictures. One concludes with the image of nothingness, the other with the image of a fat man smiling, returning to the village bearing gifts. Nowadays, we have only the second version. They call it Neo-Dada. When I talked with M.D. 2 years ago, he said he had been 50 years ahead of his time. Duchamp showed the usefulness of addition, mustache. Rauschenberg showed the function of subtraction, de Kooning. Well, we look forward to multiplication and division. It is safe to assume that someone will learn trigonometry, John's. Ichiyanagi Wolf. We have no further use for the functional, the beautiful, or for whether or not something is true. We have only time for conversation. The Lord help us to say something in reply that doesn't simply echo what our ears took in. Of course, we can go off as we do in our corners and talk to ourselves. There he is, rocking away in that chair, smoking his pipe, waiting for me to stop weeping. I still can't hear what he said then. Years later, I saw him on McDougal Street in the village. He made a gesture I took to mean, okay. Tools that are no good require more skill. A Duchamp. Seems Pollock tried to do it, paint on glass. It was in a movie. There was an admission of failure. That wasn't the way to proceed. It's not a question of doing again what Duchamp already did. We must nowadays nevertheless at least be able to look through to what's beyond, as though we were in it looking out. What's more boring than Marcel Duchamp, I ask you? I've books about his work, but never bothered to read them. Busy as bees, with nothing to do. He requires that we know that being an artist isn't child's play. Equivalent in difficulty, surely, to playing chess. Furthermore, a work of our art is not ours alone, but belongs also to the opponent who's there to the end. Anarchy. He simply found that object and gave it his name. What then did he do? He found that object, gave it his name. Identification. What then shall we do? Shall we call it by his name or by its name? It's not a question of name. The air. We hesitate to ask the question because we do not want to hear the answer, going about in silence. One way to write music, study Duchamp. say it's not a Duchamp. Turn it over, and it is. Now that there's nothing to do, he does whatever anyone requires him to do. A magazine cover, an exhibition, a movie sequence, etc., ad infinitum. What did she tell me about him? That he gave himself except for 2 days a week, always the same days, Thursdays, Sundays. That he's emotional. That he formed 3 important art collections. The phonograph. Theater.